Welcome to the Confident Speaker Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly D. Parker, speaker, consultant, and self-proclaimed introvert who stumbled upon the cheat code to captivate audiences and command any room. Each week on this show, I'll share tips and tools to inspire you to communicate with power, charisma, and awaken your most confident self. Let's get started. Hey there, this is episode 43 of the Confident Speaker Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. I have a special guest for you today, and his name is Mike Nelson. Mike Nelson is a minister, educator, speaker, and trainer. He travels the country with his various programs, primarily for schools, namely Student Success Tour School Assembly Program. He lives by the motto, the lifestyle. Life is what God gives you. And style is what you make out of it. So get ready to take notes because Mike gave so many practical tips and tools about how to immediately shift your ability to speak in a more confident way and be more easy to understand. He also gave some tips around communicating with the youth, right? So if you have a passion for working with youth and are wondering how to be more effective in that space, Mike is that guy. So without further ado, here's my chat with Mike Nelson. Mr. Mike Nelson, how are you today?
Oh, man. If life was any better, I'd be walking on sunshine, but I'm blessed. No complaints.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me. What I find so fascinating about you is that this is our first time meeting. And yes. I already feel...
Officially.
Because I already feel like I know you. I already feel like we go way back. I'm already like, how's your wife doing? How you feeling today? What's going on? So, you know, it's just really a privilege for me to finally talk to you for real in person.
Not in person, but live.
How about that?
Live.
So I know we have a few people in common that we know. I know you know Odell.
That's my guy. Yep.
Of course. Ashley Kirkwood. Don't you know Ashley?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Sure do.
Yeah. So I'm in her program this year and she's amazing.
Ashley is at work.
Yeah, she is. And I know YB. You know YB, right?
Yeah, of course. Yep.
Yeah.
I know YB too. And I think we both know, if I'm not mistaken, are you familiar with Felicia Kelly?
Yeah, now I don't know her personally, but I love her. I love her like I do. Yeah.
Small, big world, but small world, right?
That's exactly right. Now you're in Philly, right?
West Philadelphia, born and raised. Playgrounds where I spent most of my days. And that is not a joke. No, the playgrounds where I spent a lot of my days. But anyway, it's a whole different story.
That's awesome. So for those of us who don't know you, let us know who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me. So my name is Mike Nelson. I'm a 32-year-old motivational speaker. I like to say the term, I'm an entrepreneur who just happens to speak, but some people call me a motivational speaker, which is totally fine as well. And I'm just really, really, as my wife says, you play entirely too much. But I'm a guy who really, really just loves to have fun. I like to be able to talk to people. Like, that really, really is my whole entire thing. I serve at my church as well. I've been married for the past 8 years to the lovely Adrian Nelson. And I'm out here living my best life. So that's the short version.
That is amazing and very inspiring already. Just hearing you talk about your life, already inspired. So take us back to your first time speaking publicly. Where were you? You know, when was it and how did it go?
So I'll take you back to two times. Unofficially, this is the first time I realized, okay, Mike, whenever you talk something, it was something different. So it was at my grandma's church. I must have been about, and I have a picture of it on my IG. It must have been about maybe, I want to say, no more than 9-10 years old. So they had Grandparents Day. So everybody had to come, you know, and kind of share about their grandparent, right? So they kind of trying to prep us. And I'm like, I don't really need no preparation. This is my grandma. I'm just going to tell her how I feel about it, right? So everybody got a chance to go. And then I went, and I must have spoke for maybe 2 minutes. You know, everybody, you 19 years old, you in front of this whole church. Everybody has like 10 seconds to say, I love you, grandma, right? So I did maybe this 2 minute thing, right? And I remember when I got done, everybody was like, what? How is that possible? Like, you're like 9 or 10. How could you have the ability to articulate yourself so well at an early age? And it's moving. And it allowed people to see like how much you love your grandma. And I was like, I don't really know. Like, I don't know. So it was then I was like, you know what? I was like, I don't know what this thing is, but I know that I like the way I felt. And so going throughout the whole entire years of schooling and all that, I always would do school like this. I would say, look, we're going to do a group project. You guys do all of the work. And you let me take care of the oral presentation because you know how it is. I'm like, look, I don't want to do any work. And most people have a fear of public speaking. So I just be like, look, I don't have that fear. So you let me take care of the presentation. And I remember when I would talk and people would be either captivated or amazed. And they would always ask me questions afterwards. And I started thinking, I said, I think it's, I don't know what this is, but I just know when I do it, it's a lot different from, you know, when other people do it. So I'm not sure exactly what this is. And then all throughout the years when I did, when I went to college, you know, had to speak in front of the board of trustees. It's like this meeting that they have. And the president of our university wrote me a handwritten note. He said, the kid from West Philly did outstanding. And I was like, yo, I don't know. Cause I'm thinking maybe this word just working for the black people. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. But once I saw other cultures, I was like, yo, maybe I do have something here. Now, fast forward. My very, very first engagement I did, I remember it was at a agricultural high school. And they brought me in to do like a speech. And I did it based around the Hunger Games. And the message was entitled, "May the odds be ever in your favor." So we talked about, because I think they were going through like state testing. So I talked about, you know, different strategies of how they can stack the odds in their favor. When I tell you, they loved it. And I was like, maybe I should try to look into this. Now, I had no idea. When I found out people can get paid to talk, I said, y'all got to be kidding. I said, you can really get paid to do this? And I think from that moment forward, I kind of was like, all right, I need to look into this.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's powerful. Now, you were talking about like your natural ability and affinity to captivate, to move a crowd, all of those things. So a lot of our listeners on the opposite end, they are like, I am terrified. I am scared. I have anxiety around public speaking. So what, you know, advice would you give somebody who feels very nervous when they think about speaking in front of a crowd?
Yeah, I think you should feel nervous. As I always tell everybody, just because we make it look easy, it doesn't mean that it actually is. So for about 30 seconds, and this makes me cringe when, you know, you're about to go up and you're reading your bio, I'd be like, ooh, I don't know. It just makes me feel strange. I'm like, ah. So, but for those, when they read it and I go up, for about 30 seconds, my heart is beating fast. I'm probably just as nervous as anybody. But I think one of the main things that helped me early on is to realize, A, this is not about you. Like, so take the focus off of you. Now, I think it's a good thing that you are nervous because you care about people, you care about the audience, you care about the message that is going to be going out. You want to make sure that you say the right words and you're actually good on stage. But I think what helps me to calm my nerves is that this is not about me. So the more nervous and anxiety I feel, this means that I'm making it now about me. There are a group of people who need to be able to hear this training, this message, whatever you're going to give. They need to be able to hear this. So I think that's the first thing. Second thing is, look, like, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Yes, you're probably going to say some words wrong. Like, I tell people this all the time and they're amazed. I say naturally, like, I had to go to speech therapy. I talk with a stutter, like, naturally. Like, it's just something that has always been there. And I always say, in my presentation, I know I'm going to fumble over a word. Shoot. Sometimes I might even use a word wrong, but I say it with so much passion that you actually believe that that's the right word. I'm like, wait, I definitely didn't mean it in that context. So I think a lot of times is that you just have to know that the message is about the audience and it's not about you. So shift it from what can I do or say or share and be my authentic self as well. Because most people, you know, they get up and they try to mimic other speakers. And I'm like, this is where you about to get messed up, especially if, and this is an advanced conversation, especially if you're trying to get paid. It's like, you can't be like anybody else. Like, they might as well pay that person if you're going to sound like them and do things like them. So I really, really think just shifting the focus off of you and on them and knowing that it's okay if you messed up. The speakers I coach and train, I say, look, if you mess up, guess what? If you mess up in your story, the only person that knows that you messed up is you. Nobody else knows that you messed up. If you say something that, or you put your, you know, you may share your story in a different order, who's going to know except you? So just make sure that you give yourself grace, Make sure that you practice as well. I think practice is something that's key, especially if you're starting out. It's like you have to be able to get the reps in, because it takes you quite some time to be able to find your voice, your true authentic voice. So make sure that you practice. Know that it's okay. In fact, if it is that you make a mistake, and take the focus off of you and put it directly on the audience to say, I'm here to be able to help. And I know my story and the principles I'm going to share are going to be able to help move this audience into a certain direction.
That's it. Period.
Love it. That's what I'm saying.
So talk to me about this. So I know you do a lot of work with youth.
Yep.
I've done a little bit of work with youth, not a whole lot, but I know from being a youth, there were some individuals that had a passion for the youth, but they were not necessarily able to connect with the youth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what would some of your advice be for those of us, you know, that want to impact young people and want to figure out, how do I do that in a powerful way? How do I captivate a younger audience?
Yep. I think studying your audience as well. So for example, there's a reason why it's calculated. There's a reason why when I go in in my Jordan sweatshirt, I go in with my Jordans, because that's what, you know, a lot of the youth, you know, they're into Jordans and a lot of stuff like that. So not that I'm trying to dress like them, but I want to be able to appeal to them. Cause you know, the minute they start reading your bio, you getting judged already. From the time that you're sitting down to the time that you walk on the stage, people are sizing you up already. So my whole entire thing is, let me be able to put you at ease. Cause I know, you know, sometimes it's like, oh my God, we got to sit and hear this speaker again. Oh my God. I'd rather shoot myself. Right. So my whole entire thing is, I use the stuff to my advantage. What do you have that you can use to your advantage? I look fairly young. Like, I remember doing a presentation. I was sitting in the auditorium, and a teacher came in and was like, hey, I heard this mic guy's supposed to be super good. And I was like, I heard that too. So I put up my PowerPoint, and it was a picture of me. She said, wait a minute, I thought you were a student. I said, no, I'm not a student. I said, I'm here. I'm actually about to do this school assembly. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. So I used the fact that I'm young. I study my audience, so I know the things that they like, right? So for example, you can't go in talking to 18-year-olds. You're talking about stuff that may not be relevant. For example, you're talking about stuff that may have happened maybe 30 years ago. And I'm talking about, it ain't even common knowledge, or you're making references to songs that they like, wait, who is Tina Turner? I don't even know who that is. I'm like, wait, you don't know who that is? So giving references to music and current events and things that they actually like, I think that's going to be something that's going to be key. But most people don't even study their audience. They don't take the time to study and know their audience. What are their likes? What are their dislikes? What kind of music are they listening to? How do they show up on social? Like, no one of those things actually help you. And then when I get on stage and they say, yo, he got on Jordan, again, it's so shallow, but, oh, he got on Jordan. It's like, yo, he must be a dope person. Meanwhile, my character could be completely trash. So the reason why I dress the way that I dress, and I like it because it's comfortable, is because I know the audience that I'm talking to. So I'm very, very particular about when I show up. Like, all right, Mike, make sure that you look the part, you know, make sure that you're able to resonate with them. Because if I show up in a suit and a tie, there's nothing wrong with that, but they're going to be like, here we go with this. And a lot of kids that I talk to, they in the hood. I'm talking about the hood. Like, they ain't even wearing, like, they don't even own like a suit. They like, oh, who is this coming up here? So if my whole entire goal is, before I get up and talk and you hear the stuff I'm going to say, let me disarm you and say, oh, he looks like me. He's the same color as me. He has the same stuff that I have on. Let me go ahead and see what he has to say.
Yeah, that's good. Listen, I love it when I invite people on the show and they repeat all the same stuff
we've
been talking about. Thank you.
Like, yes, this is what I've been saying. Right.
Now, here's another thing I know that people struggle with. They are afraid that they're going to start rambling, or they're concerned that they're not going to really be able to stick the point. Like, they're going to get away from it and people won't understand what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So how would you advise people in terms of really making sure the individuals understand what you're trying to say and it's clear, concise?
Yeah. So you got to come out strong. I call them, you got to punch somebody in the mouth. Like when you come out, you got to let them know, like, yo, I'm not playing. Like it could be telling a joke. It could be, you know, sharing a story. It could be something that's serious. So I think the intro is probably the most important thing, right? So what happens is, now, I'm not saying that you can't recover, but if you bomb your intro, it's because it's going to be hard to kind of pull it back unless you're advanced, right? So this is why I always say the intro, God, it has to be strong. I don't care if the rest of it, which it shouldn't be, if the rest of it is average, I'm cool. But the intro gives your audience the perspective of, do I want to hear this for the next hour or so based off of the intro? So here's some things that you can do to stop rambling, right? I think one of the things that I do, right, is I only go with 3 points. I'm not doing 16 points. I only have 3 points, right? And the goal is people are not going to remember all three. They'll probably only remember one of these, right? But my goal is I'm going to give you 3 points. And I know for a fact that you're probably not going to get all three, but I know for a fact that you will remember at least one. So going with these 3 points, this means that I cannot go outside of these 3 points right now. Obviously, you know, if you're the Holy Spirit led, obviously God can take you in a different direction, obviously. But I'm saying outside of that, I'm only sharing these 3 points right now. Here's something that I do that I've learned. And my mind, you would be surprised how many times I'm on stage and my mind goes blank. And I'm like, oh, shoot, what the heck am I supposed to say next? Like, what's next? Right. So here's something that I do. I often will transition. I'll ask a question based off of what I just said, right? And when I do that, here's something I do. I normally grab my water. I take a sip. Now, as they're giving me feedback and they're asking their question, I'm paying attention, but I'm not. In my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, what was the last thing that you talked about? And I have to be able to get back so I can transition from out that point and go to the next. Right. So I'm listening to them, but also I'm thinking in my own mind, how do I get to my next point? And I'm thinking it gives me time to think and say, all right, Mike, are you rambling? Like I kind of call it like a 30-second timeout. Like, all right, Mike, what's the response of the audience? Do you need to go up or do you need to bring it down? Are you on 9 or do we need to go to a 10 or do we need to scale it back to a 5? So that's something that I do that kind of helps me saying, all right, Mike, based off of the feedback, this means that you probably are rambling and this means that you're probably doing too much or this means that you're actually not doing enough. Or something that you can say and it gives you maybe a 10-second pause, right? If I forget what I'm going to say, when you hear me say, and I stop, that means either I'm about to say something deep or that means I forgot my point. I have no idea what's about to come next. So I'll be talking and I'll stop and I'll clap my hands and I'll say, This either means I'm about to say something deep, or this means I have not the slightest idea of what I'm about to say. And I'm trying to give 10 seconds so I can get back to my actual thought. But I think rambling, I think that you just have to be, you have to be concise with your training or speech that you give. Most people, they trying to do too much. I'm like, I was talking to somebody maybe last week and they told me, yeah, I got 9 points. I said, you only gonna be speaking for 30 minutes. I said, you don't need 9 points. You're going to forget probably those 9 points, probably. And I always say, you should be able to get through your presentation. Even if your PowerPoint goes completely dead, you should be able to get through your entire presentation and not ever look at the PowerPoint. I said, if you cannot do that, you have too much information. I would rather, right, that my audience leaves and saying, yo, we need to invite him back, versus them saying, man, I'm so glad that he done, because he went through all these points and I didn't know what he was talking about. So I think rambling, I think we all to a degree kind of do it, but it's always about, okay, finding your way back. This is why you have to be paying attention to the audience. Or is everybody sitting there like this, or they rolling their eyes, or people on their phone? This kind of gives you an indication of what direction that the speech needs to be able to go in and help you from like just going off on all these tangents. So again, only stick to 3 points, like 3 points. And I'm weird. I like to do everything in acronyms. It just helps me to remember everything. I'll be like, okay, this is that. Okay, this, that, and the third. So try to do acronyms, maybe 4 points if that's something that you want to do, but try to do like an acronym. So this way you can't forget the point that you need to go out from and the principle that you actually need to share.
I mean, what's left for us to talk about when, I mean, you giving the people freely freely out of the bottom of your heart everything they need to know. But what I love about what you're saying is I hope people are hearing, like, we're all the same. Like,
who all the same.
Kind of forget, like, oh, Lord, what was I talking about?
I do it all the time.
But it's about, what is your strategy? So if I have that moment, I'm probably going to pause. And then if I really can't remember, we're just going to go to the next point. Because like you said,
the next point.
Nobody really knows for real what I meant to say except for me, you know? So it's about that. What it reminds me of is like when you're driving, like when you get in a car, it doesn't just go straight. Like you're constantly like adjusting a little bit here, a little bit there. Right. So you're paying attention and you're just making the adjustments as necessary. And if you see you headed toward the ditch, you're like, oh, wait, you know what I mean? So that's really good. That's powerful. So here's the thing. We've kind of been hinting at you working with young people and hinting at how you train, you know, other individuals to be able to work with young people, not only work with them, but get paid to speak. So can you talk a little bit about your program?
Yeah. So it's called, I actually have two. So I have one called Speaker Momentum, right? I always have a tough time saying that word. So it's going to walk you through some basic steps to like kind of get you up and running and started as far as, you know, how to be able to go out and get gigs. Right. And then I have a higher ticket one, which is going to show you A to Z, all the stuff that I'm doing, all the stuff that my clients are doing, who are making thousands of dollars in the middle of this whole entire COVID thing that we actually have going on. So both of the programs are great. My encouragement would be, and I hope that you don't mind me sharing this, is that if you're out there and saying, hey, I don't even know where to start. Like I'm trying to go ahead and start. And the program is for anybody who's a coach or a speaker. You're saying, look, I want to work with students or parents or educators as well. But you say, yo, Mike, I have no idea where to start. Here's something that you can do right now. And I don't want to guarantee, but I promise you that you'll have a greater chance of getting booked. And this is the thing that I always teach. It's called the 6 degrees of separation. All of us are 6 degrees away of being connected to the next person. This means we are six or fewer human interactions of being connected to each other. For example, there's this book by this guy named Tim Grover. It's called Relentless, right? He was the trainer of Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, right? End up buying his book, right? It was something that I didn't understand about the book. Guess what I did? I sent him a DM. And guess what he did? He sent me a DM right back. Dude is famous. I mean, he's the best when it comes to training. Think about this. Through that one connection, now, obviously, I would never, ever ask him for this. But through this one connection, I am one connection away from meeting or hearing from the greatest basketball player of all time. So when I say that, I say it's about proximity. So here's what I would do. If you say, look, Mike, I have not the slightest clue where to start this thing at, I would immediately go through my phone, right? I would go through my network of contacts and let them know exactly what you're trying to do, right? And I would shoot them a text. Now, here's something that you can do. There's an app called Group Text, right? It's a blue icon. So you go into your app store. It allows you to send, I think, at least a couple of hundred of texts, right? You can send it in a group, but it looks like it comes to one person. And when they respond, they only respond to you. It's absolutely free. Here's what I would do. I would send that to all of my contacts in my phone, stating exactly what you do, your mission, the problem that you're going to solve for your audience. And hey, is there anybody in your network that you know that, you know, could this could be of benefit for? Oh, when I tell you, you'd be surprised. Girl, my cousin is the principal of such and such. Why you ain't say nothing? They didn't say anything because they don't know exactly what you do. They didn't know who it is that you're talking to. Oh, Mike, my cousin, my grandma sits on the board. Yeah, I can get you X, Y, Z. It works all the time. That's a simple strategy that you could do right now. I'm talking about right now, like today, and start that process. And I can tell you probably within 30 days that you should have at least one thing booked. Now, when I say book, I'm not talking about you book it. So if you do it today and you get a gig in the next 30 days, but at some point in time within that 30 days, you should be able to put a gig on the board, whether it's next month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, because again, it's a small world. Everybody really knows somebody. And guess what? You have that person now that they can vouch for you and say, yes, Mike is the real deal. Now you have a better chance of getting booked because, again, It's not like I'm sending these random emails to all these people who've never heard of me. You have somebody that can actually vouch for me. Because this is the number one question I get. Where the heck do I start? And I always say, before you try to look outwardly, look inwardly. Like, don't make your smartphone stupid. You got all these contacts in your phone. Trust me, the next gig is probably in your phone. You just don't actually know it yet.
Ooh, you said don't make your smartphone stupid. I know that's right. But that is such a powerful tip. And I feel like you were saying, like, opportunities come through people. And we think they're going to come through like Oprah,
right?
You know, she's just going to call me one day. Right. Right. But it starts with the people that you already know. Yep. Like you said, when they're clear on what you offer. So love that. Well, you have, listen, offered amazing value. So I'm so grateful to you for spending a little bit of time with me. Let us know where we can find you online and follow you.
Yeah. So I am on Instagram at Mike the Motivator, all common spelling. My website is MikeNelsonSpeaks.com. Feel free to shoot me over an email if you say, look, Mike, I was curious about this. Support at HighPaySpeakingGigs.com. If, in fact, that you want a free training on how to book your next speaking gig in the education market within the next 30 days, even if nobody has ever heard of you, go ahead and go to highpayspeakinggigs.com. I will absolutely send you a 100%. It's a free training. Only thing I need is your email so I could actually send the training to you. There's no strings attached. I'm not going to be like, oh, but you got to secretly pay for it. It's 100% absolutely free. I would love to be able to connect with you guys. If you're out there and saying, look, Mike, I have a passion for students. I have a passion for parents and educators. I definitely would love to be able to connect with you.
Thanks for listening to the Confident Speaker Podcast. If you found this content valuable, make sure you subscribe and leave a review to help others join the Confident Speaker family. Thanks again and see you next time.